You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
You are flying high on a new show that we are going to call Off Topic Tuesday. I am your host, Michael Kiss, for this show. We're going to have a rotating flow of... It's going to be a fluid situation here on Off Topic Tuesday. This is kind of our day off. It's a day off for the NFL teams, for the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're going to treat it like a day off as well. And here to celebrate the best thing to happen to Tuesday since tacos is Brandon Lee Gauton. Brandon, how you doing, brother?
That is very high praise, Mike. I don't think I deserve that, but I will take it, and I am looking forward to this show. I think it'll be fun to mix it up a little bit, get into some non-Eagle stuff, in addition to, you know, like, obviously, if there's some kind of big Eagles news that drops on a Monday night or a Tuesday morning, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but, you know, fun to get into some other things as well.
You have your finger on the pulse of the Eagles. You're a robot when it comes to dropping content on BleedingGreenNation.com. Is there any pertinent Eagles news that we need to discuss, or are we going straight off topic? What's the deal here?
Well, I think we got to talk about the Doug Peterson thing a little bit, of him just completely ripping the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching staff for being conservative in the AFC Championship game. And it's really funny that that moment was included in his new book titled Fearless, because I remember thinking that after that game, this is the exact opposite of what we saw in the AFC Championship game, where you saw Doug Peterson go for it late in the first half. And some people were like, no, what are you doing? And he was like, no, I'm going to get points anytime I can. So that's just another example to me why Doug is the best. And there was another quote I saw from that book that was included in Jeff McLean's piece for the Inquirer this morning, that Doug Peterson said something to the effect of, I looked at him and thought, I'm going to kick your tail, definitely going to kick your tail. And he was talking about his pregame meeting with Bill Belichick there. So I love cocky Doug.
That's amazing. And yeah, that quote about the Jaguars, man, I remember that play at halftime where they knelt, and I was like, they have no confidence in themselves to actually pull this off like a competent team. Like, they're so thankful just to be in the situation that it's going to cost them. And what Doug said was, let's see here, where's the quote here? He said, I was there thinking, you've got to be kidding me right now. It made me mad because Jacksonville had New England right where they wanted them. I was screaming at the TV in my office when they knelt right before halftime. Inside, I was like, I'll never do that. And I totally believe that he never would, because, I mean, he came out against the Minnesota Vikings towards the end of the first half and was very, very aggressive in that situation. And I love that mentality that Doug has in just about everything he does. It's amazing. It totally changes for me the confidence that I have in Doug. And this is actually like what we're going to do for the show. We're basically just going to bounce questions off each other. We haven't scripted any of this. We don't know any of the questions that we're throwing at each other, but I'm going to transition right into one of my first ones. When I was growing up and I was watching the Andy Reid Philadelphia Eagles, there was always this sneaking suspicion in the back of my head, and even leading up to this year too, of what is going to go wrong next. Everything is going fine just now. Everything is good. When are we flying off the rails? When is this whole thing just falling apart for literally no reason, it seemed, during the Andy Reid era? And I don't know how you feel about Andy Reid, but has Doug Peterson changed the way that you experience football games, just from, I want to say, like, maybe an anxiety standpoint?
I think it's definitely a contrast with Andy. I think with Andy, and the context here for me is that, you know, I feel like I was born into, or, you know, I grew up into Andy Reid being the head coach. Like, he was the head coach of the Eagles when I became an Eagles fan. Like, I didn't know the Eagles before him. So I kind of felt like he kind of just got stuck with that guy in some ways. Like, he wasn't necessarily your guy because he was just there. But with Andy, I think part of the problem and kind of what we're talking about here is you were waiting for that mistake. You were thinking that coaching could be a detriment at some point. I think Andy, you know, you would feel good about maybe like the game plan that he would put together in place. You knew the team was going to be prepared for the most part to play, but you knew there could be this in-game coaching situation. Everyone always talks about clock management, of course, with him, where we just felt like he's not going to get it right. And with Doug, it's been a lot of the opposite. Like, you feel good about the Eagles. And one reason I am legitimately so excited to watch them again this year is because I can't wait to see what Doug Peterson has up his sleeve. I can't wait to see what new things he's going to break out. You have Darren Sproles back. You have Dallas Goedert in the mix. I can't wait to see how he's going to scheme things up, how he's going to continue to be aggressive. And I think one of the funny things about last year is they didn't really like run a lot of trick plays. I mean, obviously, you know, you saw the Philly special in the playoffs. You saw the flea flicker in the playoffs. But I think they were so good in the regular season, they didn't feel like they needed to break some of that stuff out. I'm still waiting for the Doug Peterson onside kick. I can't wait for that. Like, they're just going to bust that out at some time. Like, there's still stuff for him left to do in terms of being aggressive. And I think that's why, part of why, you know, last year's team is so fun to watch and why this team should be fun moving forward is because they have a coach who wants to win. He's not going to coach scared. I love that. Like, you can feel good about that when your coach is that way, because you're never going to go down knowing that, man, we didn't do everything we could to win. And if you look at one of the games from last year that was kind of out of character for Doug, it was that Seattle game, which they lost, and they weren't as aggressive. And that was frustrating. I felt not good after that game, because not because I thought the season was over, but because it was uncharacteristic of Doug. So anytime he's not aggressive, I'm not on board with it. But anytime he is, I love it.
And that's an interesting transition for me. I get to plug something. I'm going to be talking with Frank Frigo from Edge Analytics, which was the analytics company that only the Eagles hired last year. And they go off something called Game Winning Chance. And what I heard from him on a previous podcast on Wharton Moneyball was that onside kicks was somewhere where teams are leaking game winning chance. So that's a very good point that you bring up, because that's one area, a surprise onside kick. And I know with the new rules, it's kind of different now, and it might be a little bit, the success rates might not be as high, but I think it's something that Doug Peterson might try his hand in to be even more aggressive and find more ways to eke out better percentages as far as game winning chances go. Okay. So first official question that I actually had before the show, and then we'll rotate from here. Let's get into the sad stuff, right? So we have already done the good stuff with Doug Peterson winning the Super Bowl, all that. I want to be a total wet blanket on this Tuesday. The worst of all days, by the way. I hate Tuesday. Other than tacos and talking with you right now, Tuesdays are by far the worst day in the week. And we could talk about that in a little bit. But what's the most heartbreaking moment for you as an Eagles fan that you can remember?
Oh, my God. That's like asking, you know, there's just so many, right? I mean, but at the same time, it feels like they don't exist anymore. Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, the Super Bowl released, it's like in Lord of the Rings where, did you see Lord of the Rings, Mike? Are you a Lord of the Rings guy at all? Am I going too deep here?
I saw it. I saw it. I tried.
Okay. Return of the King, the third episode where Aragorn, you know, gets all the ghost people. They can't rest. They're just ghosts. They're like lingering in the world because they were kind of cursed, and they could only be set free if they fulfilled the promise to the new king of Gondor. So Aragorn has them. I know this is getting super nerdy right away, he has them, and he uses them to, spoiler alert, kill all the orcs at Minas Tirith. And afterwards, they're like, release us. And he released them from their, you know, from their torment, and now they're not ghosts anymore, and they can kind of go on to the afterlife or whatever. So that's kind of what it feels like the Super Bowl. It was like we were just kind of lingering here. I think back to the end of the McNabb era, which was just like, I remember watching those two Cowboys losses right in a row, and it felt so pointless. And the Andy Reid era just turning into awfulness, I think.
Do you remember the banner with Andy Reid? Do you remember the banner they had in the stands that said, "Quit, Andy, your team has," and it was a gigantic banner spanning like 15 to 20 people.
I guess, yeah. There was that one, and there was the other one was like, "Times to go." Which people thought didn't make sense. It made sense because it was a joke on Times Yours. It was like time. It wasn't Times Yours. It was Times to Go. It's still kind of silly, but
I love it.
What about you, Kist? What is your most heartbreaking moment? I feel like I can't find a defining one.
Yeah, I think it would be the closing down of the vet, Ronde Barber.
Okay.
I think I was old enough to understand, and then also feel the pain of the franchise just enough. I was born in 84, so I've been through some stuff with the Eagles. And I feel like that was like the culmination of all that. That was the moment that was like, I'll never trust anything again. I'll never trust anything when Ronde Barber. Trust
anything or anyone.
Yeah. Never love anyone.
I think it was after that game. I remember, I think it was Angelo Cataldi. He had said, it was just so quiet after everyone was walking out of that game. And someone said something to the effect of, like, we're cursed or something, or nothing good is ever going to happen here. It's just like so soul crushing. Like, it was just dead quiet and one person said that. And now it's not true anymore.
Yeah.
It's not true because the Eagles won the Super Bowl and all those bad moments. Like, that's the thing. There was some talk. I think we did like an SB Nation theme week earlier this offseason that was kind of like, what's the one thing you would change in Eagles history? And honestly, I wouldn't change anything. Like, I would not change a single thing. The thing I picked to change was Ronald Darby picking off Tom Brady at the end of the Super Bowl, because I think that would be a better ending than the Hail Mary, because that was so anticlimactic. I think it would be really fun to see Ronald Darby just pick him off and take it to the house and just like dunk on the Patriots at that point. But like, that's so silly. Like, it just didn't matter. Yeah. Like, that's the thing I would change, a meaningless play.
I actually like, because I was watching that play the other day, I like Brandon Graham coming down with the sack. I thought that would have been sweet because he almost got a piece of him.
How did he not get him down? Like, you can, if you rewatch that play, and there's a certain view too, like from the field angle, it's just like, how did he not tackle him?
Yeah, it's incredible. God. But you know what? I can finally go, and I haven't watched that NFC Championship game since it happened. I've watched the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Eagles over again. I have not watched that NFC Championship game where Ronde Barber hit the pick six. Maybe I'll have to go back and watch that, because like you said, we're kind of free now. We can kind of do that stuff and look back at it with fresh eyes. It's awesome. Brandon, all right. Going a little off the Eagles here, since we did some nice Eagles talk. This isn't the whole question, but how much college football do you watch?
See, it's weird because I'm not like a... I like college football to an extent. I don't never watch it, but I don't have a team, I feel like, which hurts me. And I feel like I can't just pick one. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have to be invested in one to really care. And I don't know. I have a friend who watches Michigan State, so I kind of watch it with him sometimes. I'll watch some of his games. I want Temple to do well, obviously, when they're doing well.
Do you have like a certain style of play that you like? Because I grew up learning flexbone offense, and that's like, that's porn to me, is watching flexbone offense of Georgia Tech and the Naval, you know, the academy, the service academies and all that. I love watching that. Do you have a certain style that you've liked over the years, whether it be like an Urban Meyer style? Maybe that's not a great example to use right now with what's going on, but
right, yeah, not so big on that style. there used to be a guy at Oregon named Chip Kelly, who was pretty fun to watch for a little bit there. And I don't know what happened to him, but I think he's at UCLA now or something like that.
Yeah.
That was fun. But the thing with me in college football too is, you know, BGN is so consuming. It's not literally 24/7, 365, but it feels that way sometimes. And you know, during football season, Saturday is really the only day there isn't anything happening like in the NFL schedule, other than, you know, like a Tuesday here. But and it's the day before the game day, so I'm kind of trying not to get too burnt out. But so I would say kind of more of a, you know, relaxed pace watching college football on Saturday.
Yeah. No, I can totally understand.
What about
that?
You?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite teams are Penn State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame was just the team that when I was younger, again, I was born in 84. They were the only nationalized, you know, national team that you could watch every week. And because of that, my dad became a fan of them as well. So Notre Dame, Penn State is who I like to watch. But for me, if we're not talking like Mike Leach air it out with the air raid type stuff, Mike Leach is like my favorite person of all time. But
well, we all know that from listening to the Kiss and Solek show.
That's correct. That's correct. I have an obsession with Mike Leach. But yeah, flexbone offense like Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech. when he had like Josh Nesbitt and Jonathan Dwyer, the old Steelers running back. Like, that's like peak football for me. I don't know if it, offenses like that. Like, I like wide open offensive attacks and attacks in the NFL. I love old school single wing wishbone Maryland eye type stuff in college football. It's such a throwback, and it gives me great joy. All right, Brandon, hit me with one. What you got for me?
Well, first of all, did you watch Penn? So you are a Penn State fan. Did you watch them a lot during the Christian Hackenberg era?
Yes, I did, and I remember liking Hackenberg the first year he was out, and then like watching him like slowly his technique and his footwork and everything just get decimated over the next couple of years, and it never looked like he worked at it hard enough to fix it.
Yeah, I could not. Like, I kind of tried to watch Penn State casually into them, rooting for them, and then I think Christian Hackenberg just killed it. I was just like, no, what am I doing with myself? Like, this is so hard to watch. It's so painful.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I know you are an enjoyer of beverages, as we saw from when you were at the Super Bowl party and you had the champagne and you kind of spilled it out of your mouth there. Not a highlight moment for you.
Don't you do that, man. That's the clone that got away. That's the clone. And Chris Maragos is the clone that got away.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that's why you can't keep him around.
Yep.
Then he's going to make you look bad and just in front of everyone. But for real though, what is your beverage or beverages of choice? Since I know you are a connoisseur.
Yeah. I'm a vodka drinker. So anything, okay, anything with vodka. And I like, just for the house, if I'm being cheap, I'll get Svedka. If I'm feeling fancy on a Friday, I'll get some Tito's, because I love Tito's. Mixers are all over the place. I'm raising three boys, right? And they're all spread out over all different ages. So I've got teeny tiny baby Augustus. He just turned one. I've got my stepson, who's basically adopted for all intents and purposes, who is 10. And then I've got my eldest son, who is 13. So we've got anywhere from sodas for the boy, or Gatorades. We've got Capri Suns for the stepson. We've got apple juice to kind of loosen up little baby Augustus. Whatever is in the house that I can get my hands on, I will squeeze a Capri Sun into a glass if I'm like out of like ginger ale or like any kind of proper mixers. So vodka and literally anything is pretty much my drink of choice, and I drink it quite often. What's your favorite drink?
I'm pretty, I'm not the hardest person to please in many ways.
As you can tell, neither am I.
Yes. I'm more of a beer guy in general. I wouldn't say I don't drink super frequently, more of maybe a social drinker, if you will. I sometimes like really cheap beer. See, it's funny because we used to do these Bud Light podcasts, and so we were getting Bud Lights all the time, like for them, like to promote it. And I was just like, I guess I like Bud Light now, because I was just having them so much, and it's like, it's cheap, and it's like, why not? I like those. I like, there's this really good place in Yardley, Pennsylvania called The Vault. It's a microbrewery. They make a sweet potato ale that is really good in the fall. And so instead of like pumpkin, a pumpkin beer, they have something, they were talking about how, the sweet potato actually like holds the flavor better than a pumpkin does typically. So that's why they do that. And it's really good. Not as much into liquor anymore.
Do you have some bad experiences?
Well, maybe. Maybe some of those. Kind of more of a beer and wine guy at this point. I like white wine. I'm not into red wine as much. I'm a big white wine guy.
Some of the guys that I know from the Scouting Academy, we chat like literally every day. And one of them suggested for the show was having a contest where Bleeding Green Nation listeners would be able to win like a certain prize or a signed jersey or something like that if they were able to outdrink me. And I mean, like, some of these guys have met me and partied with me down in Mobile, Alabama. I was there for the Senior Bowl last year, so I gained a little bit of a reputation there. I'll put it that way, as far as what I can put back. So I'm putting the challenge out there. If anybody wants to catch me outside or inside a bar, then we'll go at it.
I might have to take you down, man.
You know, you're big enough. And I was thinking about this too.
Exactly.
Jason Kelce, he was obviously drunk for this speech at the parade, right?
Yeah.
Did anyone see him after the fact? Like, I imagine he's a guy, like, he might be the guy that can handle the most alcohol of anybody on that team, considering if he was day drinking that seriously and, like, was perfectly functional for, like, the rest of the night, That dude's a beast. Did anyone see him after? Or do you know what happened with him? Did he like fall asleep like next to a dumpster or next to a toilet?
That's something I think I need to ask him next time. Yes. I see him. I think we need to, because maybe, I mean, it would be so anticlimactic, right, if he just like went home. He's like, yeah, I just went home. I don't think that's what happened. I think he probably, well, maybe he did because he was so tired, but maybe he just, I like to envision that they were just like driving back or whatever, and he was just like, just got out of the bus and just stopped in a bar or something and just like sat down and and watched his parade speech just on, like, you know, when they were replaying it on TV in a bar, just surrounded by people, and just
like recreated it for people and stuff. And just like, yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think we would have seen it on social media, but I really do like that. One other thing I want to say about the drinks thing is I think I am uniquely qualified to order drinks that some would consider girly drinks, you know, or like a chocolatini. Cause look, I'm a really big guy. So whenever I want to get something like that, it's like, yeah, I can just get that. What's someone going to do? Like come over to me and like try to say, like, I'm like 6'9", like 265. Like someone's just going to come over and try to like give me crap for doing that. I don't think so.
Hey, what you drinking that pink drink for? Nah, no one's doing that to you, BLG. That's true. I was thinking more like I'm not a big like fruity drink type guy. Although anything with mango in it, I am all in. And I heard Ben really enjoyed the Rita's, the mango there. So are you a big mango guy too? Or do you have like a specific flavor that you're kind of looking for? Because pretty much anything that I get drink wise, whether it be alcoholic or non-alcoholic, if it's got mango, I'm DTF.
So I had this take a couple years ago when I first had mango water ice at Rita's, and I determined that mango, the flavor to me, is so much better than mango, the fruit to me. Because I had mango, the fruit, and I was like, no, like, no, where's the flavor? Like, where is it? I've been lied to. Like, what is this? This is not what I expected. Maybe it was just a bad mango. I don't know. But I just feel like the flavor is a lot better. I wouldn't say that's my top flavor, although I do enjoy it when I've had it. I like really sweet things. So I guess that goes into with the drink, and that goes into me liking Swedish Fish or like Sour Patch Kids Red is my favorite Rita's water ice flavors, or strawberry as my favorite Gatorade flavor. Kind of like some of those
which sweeter, is great. Yeah.
Red flavors. Yeah, that's right. You're a strawberry guy. I forgot about that.
I use it as a mixer too. It's delicious.
Dude, it's the truth. It is a flavor that's not easy to find. Like, if you go to a 7-Eleven or a Wawa or anywhere, you know, that's Gatorade, usually don't find it there, especially if they only have like a couple of basic flavors like the red and the yellow and whatever. But yeah, it's tough to find, but it is definitely one of the winners.
One thing I got to know, we're talking about drinks. I got to know about your food takes, man. What is up with the... I'm a seafood junkie. What is up with the lobster is better than pizza take? Because it's actually quite upsetting to me. Like, it's one of the first things I wanted to talk about when they were talking about bringing me on to BGN. I'm like, this is something that I have to ask Brandon because it might affect our working relationship and personal relationship.
I would put it this way. I feel like I'm just a basic. Like, I'm not into steak as much. I'm not into seafood. Hugely, everyone's like, what's wrong with you? And everyone's, you know, it's funny because people are like, oh yeah, I went to this steakhouse, it was awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not into, I feel like part of it is I'm just lazy and I'm not into food that I have to like
work at,
like start to, yeah, like, I don't know, just give me a burger, I'm hungry, I want to eat. Like, I don't want to have to like pick at something. And then it's not just that, because I've tried those things. It's not that I haven't tried them, like, I've given them a fair shot. I don't know. Like, I've had lobster. It was fine. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't something that I would really want. And pizza is something I really want all the time. Like, every moment of the day there's never a time I do not want pizza ever. So there is always time where I don't want lobster. So that's kind of where that comes in for me.
Yeah. I get you. Pizza is very a high floor food. I'll put it to you that way.
Right.
Like, there's rarely ever bad pizza that I'm aware of. And like, that stuff is like very easily identifiable because it's all corporate and whatnot. But okay. I got a question for you. Then I want you to hit me with one and we're going to wrap this up. We're going to
sounds good.
Wrap up this off topic Tuesday, which has been awesome. Getting to know you, bud. This is great.
Yeah, man.
What is your favorite football movie?
Oh, man. I think it has to be Remember the Titans. I just remember watching that in high school, like, multiple times, you know, Denzel and everything. And I think it has to be that one. I think it's Remember the Titans. I think it's kind of like a chalk pick, but I think that's the one.
It's disrespectful, in my opinion, to Willie Beeman on any given Sunday. That's got to be mine. It's so over the top, and it's so amazing. For me, Willie Beeman is the best movie quarterback in the history of all time. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that they should
put him. He's your QB1?
Yeah, he's my QB1, for sure. They should put him on the movie Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. I mean, you take a job from a guy like Cap Rooney, who's an all-time great, and you come in there and ball out, and he's amazing. He changed the way that they viewed the game in that world. He was like their Michael Vick, basically. And like the metrics commercials and all that stuff cracks me up. So any given Sunday is mine. Lawrence Taylor looking like a crazy person. Jim Brown yelling at people as a coach. It's all fantastic. I love that movie.
Awesome, man. Well, this was really fun. Definitely, if you're listening to this, we will try to get some mailbag questions, I feel like, involved in here. I know, you know, some podcasts out there want to say they invented the mailbag, but I don't know. I think the mailbag is here to stay with our podcast too. A good counterpart to this podcast would be to add the mailbag component. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing more episodes with you, Mike, and everyone else. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I guess, it's so weird. This is a different show. Should I use my regular clothes or what should I do?
It's up to you, man. It's off the cuff. There's no rules here on Off Topic Tuesday.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
So we can feel free to be creative, or I'm just going to kind of like wander off and just be like, all right, BLG.
And give reviews and stuff.
Yeah,
leave
reviews. Five stars. Love you guys. We all we got.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
We're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.